Hello, everyone. A retreat is really a treat. It feels very special to me to be here with all of you, to have a chance to practice together. I'm really grateful that conditions are the way they are, that allow us to have this moment, long moment, a few days of a moment. So I kind of want to say welcome in a way, in a couple of ways. This isn't in my notes. I wanna say welcome so that it's kind of like not me, Michael, saying welcome to you, but say welcome on behalf of you saying it to yourself. Like me saying welcome to me. Welcome to this moment of retreat. This moment of life where so many wonderful things are somehow coming together. To offer support and nourishment. So I welcome. This is fading in and out a little bit, the sound system. No, it's okay. All right. I'm going to talk right into the microphone, so. It feels like if I shift, I hear it go away for half a second. There are a lot of different parts of ourselves that we can welcome to the retreat. And I hope that we're able to welcome them all. So as we sit here and breathe in and out, air moving in and out of our lungs, and we become aware of that, right? Our body is here, beginning this retreat. This is part of our being. We're welcoming our bodies to the retreat. And we're welcoming our hearts and our minds to the retreat too. And there's happiness and there's joy. There's all kinds of wonderful things in our hearts and minds, and there's also pain and sadness and anger. And if we're really going to welcome ourselves, we have to welcome all of that. We have to at least acknowledge that this, we bring with us to this retreat all the experiences, all kinds of experiences that we have. And so as we welcome our bodies, as we welcome our hearts, as we welcome our minds, all of this is here. And now for me, I would like to say that as far as I hold myself in relationship to a retreat experience like this, all of that is welcome, right? But it's not only me sitting here and each one of you sitting there on your cushions that is arriving in this retreat in this moment. We carry with us so much more. Just as our bodies carry the body of the cosmos, of the planet around us, and bring it into this space. I mean, just a few moments ago, we were eating dinner, which a few moments before that was all sorts of living beings all over the planet. And now that's become our bodies arriving here in the retreat. So too, we bring with us our mothers and our fathers and our grandmothers and our grandfathers and so many generations of our ancestors. We can't take them out of us. We are their continuation. And so in welcoming ourselves to the retreat, we're welcoming a whole lot of other people to the retreat too. The transformation and the continuation of so many more people flowing into this room, taking shape as our bodies, as our hearts, as our minds. Here, each one of us bringing all that stream of ancestry in. And not only our blood or genetic relations, but all those beings from whom we have learned, whom we have taken a little bit of them with us on our path through life, they're all coming here also. An important and integral part of who we are, therefore now a part of this retreat. So welcome. Welcome to me, welcome to you, welcome to mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers. Welcome to all of the world to which we belong. Welcome to our world, to our planet. For me, it's important to start a retreat like this, in this way, because what that means is as I practice my conscious breathing, as you practice your conscious breathing, as we sit here and ground ourselves in present moment awareness and begin to deepen our understanding of who and what we are at this particular moment of our life, as we do this, all of our ancestors are getting the opportunity to do it also. As we breathe in and out and bring air into our body and bring relaxation with that out-breath, letting go of a little tension and a little stress, that's a relaxing breath for mothers, fathers, grandmothers, and grandfathers. As we learn to walk with peaceful steps and eat our food with care and attention, that's something our ancestors may not have ever been able to do. But through this moment of the retreat, we offer their transformation, their continuation, an opportunity to awaken with and through us. So our retreat is our retreat. It's my retreat is my retreat. It's for me. Your retreat is your retreat. It's for you. But it's also for all of those whom you carry with you, who I carry with me. And collectively, all together, as a sangha, a community of practice, who we carry all together. It's really quite amazing if you start to look around and realize what's happening in this room. So many people from so many streams of life, all gathering in a concentrated awareness, all waking up to this moment of life together. It's a bright light on the surface of the planet. It's beautiful. If you could see it from up there, you'd see it, the warm glow emanating out of the room right now. So welcome. And with gratitude, we are here, as has already been expressed, there are so many conditions which are helping to hold us in this space. This camp and all the conditions that allow it to provide us with comfortable space to be. But before that, this land and the peoples of this land who stewarded it, who cared for it for so many generations. And we owe that gratitude. We owe that to them also. And it's not like it's a duty or an obligation. If you reach down and with your awareness touch this earth, if you look about you at the lake and the mountains, if you put your hand on the bark of one of these trees, and you breathe with it, you'll feel the welcome of the earth here. Yeah. You'll feel this place welcoming us to the retreat also. And we have gratitude for that welcome. Yeah. This is a time we don't have to try very hard. So many things, simple things, are provided for us with grace and ease. So we can really let down our guard. So many of us go through our lives, our days, especially lately, with a lot of tension and a lot of worry, a lot of stress, relationships, obligations, awareness of great stories of suffering all around us in the world. And it weighs upon us. This is a place where we can breathe and let the out-breath, let with the out-breath that stress, that tension fall away. I often like to use the words gathering and settling with my in-breath and my out-breath when I'm arriving in a retreat moment or when I've been busy or distracted or stressed out a little bit. And I come back to my breath and my body in this moment. I use those words so my mind can catch the gesture that's inside that breathing in. I'm gathering myself in awareness. And I'm settling, releasing what I don't need, releasing all the stress and the worry and any tension or any sense of obligation or weight or burden that I had to carry in order to get here. I can really arrive now and let it go. There's nowhere else to go now, at least for a few days. So take, just like, let the mind rest. Let the heart open and soften a little bit. With every breath, we can feel that softening, that opening happen a little bit more. Our breathing happens right here and right now. Sounds a little bit dire, but you will never take a breath in the future. It will not happen. And you cannot breathe in the past either. Only now. Breath only happens now. And it's so lovely also because it happens right here, right inside the very heart of us, the trunk, the center of our body. So it's a wonderful threshold. It's a kind of a gateway that we can cross through or go through with our awareness into the experience of life revealing itself in this present moment. And our breathing also happens all the time. So it's always there for us. It's so lovely. To simply be aware that breath is happening in, right here, right? And out, right now, right? It brings us towards the experience of life revealing itself in this moment. And the mind will run. The mind will jump out and try to go somewhere else. Our body might want to jump up and go somewhere else, right? That will happen. That's natural. That's normal. Our practice is simply to acknowledge that we have lost our awareness of breath, our awareness of the moment. Simply see, oh, I just ran away on some train of thought. Okay, time to come back. No judgment, no right, wrong, no success, no failure. Just simply the practice of returning. Right? Now, if you happen to notice that you have a kind of a shame or a guilt around that your mind is running away, just invite that part of you to come back also. We don't need to fight against that. We don't need to deny that it's there. Oh, I'm judging myself for not having perfect concentration, like all these people around me, right? And you feel some sense of self-consciousness or judgment of yourself, you can just simply invite that part also, like, okay, self-criticism, self-judgment, why don't you come home now too? Let's come home to breath together. Welcome that part of ourselves back to this moment, back to the practice of in-breath, out-breath. Sometimes the breath isn't really there for us, so we can also use our eyes. So our eyes, when they're open and they're in decent condition, they are seeing right here, right now. Right? What we see is the present moment, an image of the present moment. And we don't want to come back to thinking about what we see. We don't want to come back to seeing. Right? And we're going to do a lot more talk about this going forward. But the eyes and the way they see in this moment, the ears and the way they hear what they hear, and the nose and the tongue with scent and taste right here, right now. These are also thresholds, gateways into present moment awareness. So you can also rely a little bit on your other sensory experiences, not just on breathing in and breathing out. I would like to offer you a little bit of a chant. I'm going to borrow the bell from Zan, if we can slide it over. I don't need the whole stand, but just the, you know, yeah. Actually, yeah, anyway, it works. I would like to offer the chants that go along with the invitation and the listening to the sound of the bell in the Plum Village tradition in English. This is purely for enjoyment. So please be comfortable. If your body doesn't like the position you're currently in right now, take a moment to gently shift it. It shouldn't be torture to relax deeply into ourselves. Probably won't work if we're torturing ourselves. The words of the chant are simple. They're kind of like a prayer, an offering of a kind of a prayer, and so I don't need to explain them. But the idea is that we're using all of the beauty, the art form of the music and the sound of the bell to help us stay in touch with this moment of being right here and right now, and allowing the deep wish for ourselves and many beings to awaken and to feel healing and transformation, allowing that to be present. So we're opening our hearts with love and compassion, and we're being present in a gentle way with ourselves, in a relaxed way. And hopefully that allows us to really settle in and experience a little bit of the beauty and the wonder of this moment of life. Body, speech, and mind in perfect oneness, I send my heart along with the sound of the bell. May the hearers wake and from forgetfulness and transcend the path of anxiety and sorrow. I listen, I listen, and this wonderful sound brings me back to my true home. I listen, I listen, and this wonderful sound brings me back to my true home. May the sound of the bell reach deeply into the cosmos, in even the darkest places, may beings hear it clearly, so that understanding lights up their hearts, they may realize awakening and find their way home. I listen, I listen, and I feel my afflictions begin to dissolve. My mind calm, my body relax. A smile is born upon my lips. Following the sound of the bell, my breath guides me back to the safe island of mindfulness. And in the garden of my heart, a flower of peace blooms beautifully. Thank you for practicing listening to the bell. I'm going to stand up and walk around a little bit while I talk to you. I'll carry your recording device too. I have a way of holding an understanding of the practice that I wanted to share. It's just kind of creepy if I walk behind you guys. It's something that Fern and I, my wife Fern and I, talk a lot about. What we call the two arms of the practice. I mainly wanted to stand up because there's a whole bunch of you that I can't see when I'm sitting down there, and it's a lot nicer. So one arm of the practice is the arm of taking care of our suffering. And so this arm of the practice involves, you know, developing awareness for the parts of us where we're hurting, where we have marks of suffering, wounds, and learning to take care of those places, those parts of ourselves that feel unsettled, needs unmet, or just plain hurt. So there's a whole part of our practice, it's a whole arm, which is about taking care of suffering. And then there's another part, another arm of the practice, and I'm holding the microphone, I can't really make that arm out, but it's the part of the practice where we nourish our happiness, where we protect and nourish our happiness. And these two arms of the practice hold each other very well. And in fact, I think they're necessary for our life of awareness, our life of awakening. It's necessary that we have both of them. And in any particular moment of our life, of our practice of awakening, we can express both of these arms. Those of you who are familiar with Buddhist doctrine would recognize in the image of the two arms the Four Noble Truths. The Four Noble Truths are the basis of much of the Buddha's teaching. And the first one is that there is suffering, and the second one is that there are causes of suffering. And this is essentially the same thing as the first arm of the practice I'm talking about. There are parts of us, experiences we have where we hurt, where there's suffering, and we're learning about them. We're learning to take care of them. Right? And in the second arm of the practice, we see the third and the fourth noble truths. The third one, you know, technically straight out of the book, is the cessation of suffering. But we can understand that to be the experience of well-being, right? That there's, well, when there's no suffering, there's well-being, right? So there's, that there is well-being. And the fourth truth is the path to well-being, that there are things that we do and things we don't do which protect and nourish our happiness, our well-being. So you have the expression of the Four Noble Truths in these two arms of the practice. When we practice mindfulness, we are practicing to develop a kind of a part of us, a faculty that we have as a human being. It's a part of who we are. It's a capacity we have to manifest. It's a kind of awareness that has, it's sort of simple and clear, doesn't have judgment in it, simply sees. Doesn't say, I like this, I don't like that. Doesn't say, I want this, I don't want that. It just simply sees what's there. That kind of awareness that we cultivate, we call mindfulness. It's interesting if you look at other languages, this is translated slightly differently. For example, in French, it's pleine conscience, which is full consciousness or full awareness. Or slightly different. It might feel a little bit different to you to play with that. Mindfulness and full awareness. To be fully aware, fully conscious of. Right? So those words in English, mindfulness, full consciousness, full awareness, presence, all these things are coming from, as far as Buddhism is concerned, The word sati in Pali, smriti in Sanskrit, S-A-T-I in Pali, S-M-R-T-I in the English version of Sanskrit. It's not really Sanskrit, but it's a fun word to say. You should try it sometime. You put S-M-R-T, smriti, right? And then an I on the end, smriti. So sati, this word, has within it an expression of remembering. And also it has within it the meaning maintaining. And there's a lot of layers to it. I'm just pulling these out a little bit to give a character of the sense of this mindfulness practice that we're talking about in a retreat like this. Full awareness, a kind of remembering, kind of really being present in non-judgmentally, not liking, disliking, but really being there with. This is a kind of an expression of care, right? Of caring. So an expression of caring for ourselves with awareness, a kind of awareness which cares. And that's really important. It's different from mental attention. You can have very strong, concentrated mental attention on something and hold your focus on something and just keep that focus there and have no sense of like real presence necessarily or care in it. But this practice involves the heart. It involves the heart. It's not just a concentrated, one-pointed mental activity to be right here, be now. It's settling in and opening ourselves up, disarming all of that tension and stress, layers and layers around the heart, so we can really experience fully who and what we are right now. And the Buddha taught sati as satipatthana, which means to place this mindfulness, this awareness, this kind of caring or loving attention, to place it in something. And he taught of four different things to place this awareness in. And the first is the body, physical body. So to place your loving, caring, gentle, kind attention into the experience of the physical body. And the second is to place our attention, our awareness, this mindfulness, full awareness, full of heart awareness, to place it into the experience of feeling. And the third is to place it in the activity of our mind, our thinking activity, to become fully conscious of, with loving attention, our mental activity, the thinking in our mind. And the fourth is to put it in everything. I'll come to that. I'll come back to it. So in the first layer of mindfulness practice, the physical body, as we sit, as we breathe, as we move, shift postures, as we stand up, as we walk from place to place, as we look with our eyes or listen with our ears, we bring our awareness to these things. This is living, beginning to live in with real awareness into the very simple experience of the physical body. I imagine this as the outermost of four concentric circles, right? It's the outside, and I'm filling that up, filling the cells of my body up with my awareness. And so then as I stand, as I sit, as I walk, as I move, look, listen, whatever I'm doing with the body, I can bring my awareness into that, this mindfulness of the body. The second layer, feelings, is interesting because we usually use the word feeling differently than what's meant here. And again, it's helpful, what's helpful for me, to look at other languages and how they translated these original texts, and the word sensation comes up a lot. So when the Buddha taught about being aware of feelings, he wasn't like talking about anger or sadness and things like that. That's later. That has more to do with the mind, the color we give to a sensation. So in this sense, feeling is simply feeling, right? There is feeling happening. Not the whole story about why I'm feeling that way, what happened to get me here, but simply that there's feeling there. Some feelings are arising primarily from an experience of the physical body, and we've already touched that a little bit, right? Where as I walk, I feel the floor through my socks, right? As my weight shifts, I have that sensation, and I can become mindful that I'm sensing, that I'm feeling weight moving, that I'm feeling contact, and so on. There's feelings that arise from the physical body, but there's also feelings that arise from mental activity. And so that's getting to that third layer, right? And sometimes the way I think about something causes a pretty strong sensation in me, right? So the Buddha invited us to become aware of sensation, of feeling, in terms of it's based in the body or it's based in mental activity. And he also said, and if you like, notice whether it feels pleasant or unpleasant, right? But that's it. Don't go into analyzing it more than that, because then you're getting into a whole lot of mental activity in order to be present in feelings. And so to be bringing our awareness, our mindfulness energy into the experience of feeling, of sensation, we notice the body in it, we notice the mind in it, and we notice whether it's taking us in like a direction which feels good, is pleasant, or one which feels unpleasant. And I can tell you, when you do this practice for a long time, you start to develop a sense for, more nuanced sense for what pleasant and unpleasant mean. Not just like pleasure in the body, sort of pleasant, but could be pleasant in the sense of deep ease and contentment, right? Wholesomeness or unwholesomeness. You start to develop a more nuanced sense for what this pleasant and unpleasant, this little scale is, and this little needle which goes from one side to another. So then the third layer of mindfulness is to become aware of the activity of the mind. And this again is, there are thoughts in us streaming out. So here's my third concentric circle. We've got the body on the outside, and then within that space there's sensation and feeling, and within that I have this experience of thoughts arising within me. My thoughts are constantly wanting to reach out into the world to understand, to get to know, to comprehend, right? They're streaming out from within me into the world. And they're carrying me in certain directions. And they're going to bring about certain kinds of feelings, right? We've already established that. Some feelings will be brought about by the way that I think and the things I think about. And sometimes those streams of thoughts that are arising within me will be carrying me down a particular direction. And I can get to know that over time. So in the beginning, you come back to mindfulness and say, oh, I'm going to be aware of my thoughts. And they're kind of just swirling everywhere, and you don't really know where they're going. But if you stay there and come back there over and over and over again, maybe for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, you'll... That's what the sutra says. It's really fun like that. Because if you do this practice for 7 years, you will attain. Then it says, well, if you really do it for 7 months, that'll be enough. And it says, oh, just kidding. If you do it for 7 days, if you really come into the practice, you'll get to know your thoughts and what direction they're taking you. Are they taking you in a wholesome direction or an unwholesome direction? And you'll notice the differences between those things, right? maybe your thoughts are about developing kindness, or maybe they're about developing joy. And both of those you might qualify as going in a wholesome direction. Maybe they're about impatience and frustration, or they're about loss and loneliness, sadness. You might qualify those sorts of streams of thoughts as unpleasant or unwholesome. But you get to know that part of yourself by being mindful of thinking. And that's the third layer of mindfulness practice. Now the fourth layer is taught as dharmas, with a small d, which means things. So a lot of folks say, well, because we're talking about awareness, being aware of something, let's call things objects of our awareness. So an object of our awareness. So the fourth layer is to be aware of any object of our awareness with mindfulness. Right? So anything with mindfulness. So our bodies are already the fourth one. Our bodies are already the fourth layer because they are an object of our awareness, and so with our feelings and so with our mind. But this also invites us to become aware of the bodies and the hearts and the minds of people around us. Maybe groups of people, or maybe not people, but leafed people, or winged people, or scaly finned people, right? But to be aware of all sorts of living beings and relationships and situations around us in the world, essentially to be aware of life, but to do it from this place. And this, for me, is the innermost circle of these four concentric circles. And it seems a little bit strange that I would put to be aware of the world around me, life around me, on the inside. But that's how it works for me. Sorry. It's because I need to really come home to myself fully in order to be present for you. I can't just be aware of you and have no ground in myself. There's no relationship there. I have to first be established right where I am. So that means to be fully in my body, aware of my sensations, my feelings, aware of my mind, and having brought enough spaciousness and clarity in my awareness to myself, right, so that I'm really here with an open enough space inside to listen, to see, to receive the experience that you're bringing. Right? So that's why I put it in the middle. So I need to come home fully to me in order to see you. So I wanted to give you this very brief crash course. And many of you already know this stuff, I know. The Four Noble Truths, and then these two arms of the practice, and in the four establishments of mindfulness, these four layers of practice, because for me, that's a framework that I can use in any moment of my life. While I'm walking, while I'm sitting, while I'm eating, I can practice to mindfulness, like, of my body, of my feeling, of my mind, and being grounded right here and now of you and of the environment around me. Right? You see, it's not actually a theoretical teaching. This is a transmission of a way of moving through every activity of daily life. I love this practice. I love it so much. It brings so much clarity and so much healing and so much joy. And I just love coming back to it again and again and again and again. And I love doing it with other people also. It's a huge joy for me. This is like the best job in the world. It's not really like a job. It's like get together with people all over the place who are beautiful and striving to awaken just like me. And I'm so happy that we have retreats where we can just sit. And if your mind needs something to do, let it think about what things I was just saying. Right? Let it think about, okay, where's my body? Okay, how does this feel? Okay, what's the quality of my mind right now? What sort of stories does my habit energy want to tell me right now? And okay, maybe I don't want to go in that direction. But, you know, let it, if your mind needs something to do, if it's really running and busy and doesn't want to calm, you know, bring it into the Dharma practice. There's plenty of beautiful, simple things to think about like this that have to do with life revealing itself right now. That's why I use, like, I don't just breathe in and out, but I say to myself, gathering, settling. Gathering into what? Gathering into my body. Settling and releasing tension in my body. Gathering in my mind, this busy, distracted swirl of thoughts. Gathering it in, letting it settle, clarifying, seeing what's going on in there. Right? These are the establishments of mindfulness, the different layers, body, feeling, mind. And then when I'm here, like, okay, so I've been breathing and I'm here and I've relaxed a little bit. Let me look around and notice that there are other people, that there are other beings around me practicing too. And let that connection happen. Let that nourishment happen. So as we sit and breathe, as we walk and we make gentle steps on the earth, please slow down while you walk. There's plenty of time. In the retreat, take your time to walk and notice each step you make and let yourself ground in these practices. Gathering in and settling down and opening your heart to really feel fully, embody and feel and think it all together, fully integrated. What is it to be making a peaceful step right here that my ancestors can make with and through me? And the craziness of my life, for a moment, I can release it and settle down and touch the solidity of the earth and the beauty of this community. I feel that nourishment. Let it in. Remember, two arms of the practice. There's a lot of suffering in us, but there's also a great capacity for happiness. And we have to open that door too. Let the nourishment in. Let the Sangha's love and the Sangha's presence in. It's real. It's in all the beings around us. It's in the space. We can let it in. We might resist it for a little while, but just keep gently inviting the heart to open and a little bit more, a little bit more. To trust in our own practice and trust in the practice of the community around us a little bit. So the last little thing I want to share about this orientation or way of holding our mindfulness practice through daily activities. And again, as we move into eating, there is a contemplation we do, which is meant to help us remember to be fully mindful while we eat. As we start walking meditation, we sing songs of practice, which help us remember to walk beautifully. But all the in-between moments when you're going to get yourself some tea or coffee, when you're going to get a snack, when you're going to the bathroom, whatever, are also moments for awakening, moments for life, right? Moments for nourishment and healing. So please take your time there. But I want to share this doorway, which is opening as we really come, again, it's in the fourth layer of mindfulness. It's opening as we come home to ourselves, which is the deep connection that we have with life around us. In our tradition, through the teachings of Thay, of Thich Nhat Hanh, we call this interbeing. Interbeing. And it means that even though I sit here on this cushion and you sit there on that cushion, we are not separate beings. So I'd like to do a fun little experiment with that awareness right now. Just through the air. Because the air comes right into our heart space and we can feel that. So I invite you to feel what it is like to breathe air into the body. And let it go out of the body. in this air, there are certain molecules which are being absorbed directly into our bloodstream, becoming part of the blood that circulates through our body. Just moments before, it was the atmosphere outside, but now it's our blood. So close, so personal. We enter R with the air, the atmosphere around us. And my out-breath moves into the space which becomes your in-breath. And your out-breath moves into the space which becomes, your out-breath becomes my in-breath. And we've been doing this in this space for more than an hour together. We are very much interbeing through the air that we're breathing and the molecules that are moving in and out of our bodies and becoming our very blood. When I breathe with that kind of awareness, it makes my breath change a little bit. I feel a kind of depth and spaciousness, a kind of opening to something deeply stable, a deep kind of like homecoming experience. Like I'm becoming part of the planet in every moment I breathe in and out. Expand this awareness to become aware that our in-breath and the oxygen that we need through this in-breath that we gather into ourselves is the out-breath of all green living things on the planet's surface. All trees and forests and plants, all algaes in the wetlands, creating an oxygen-rich atmosphere that we breathe into our being. And as we breathe out, a carbon-rich exhale supports their life as well. When I breathe these thoughts of interbeing, my breath changes from just being relaxing to connecting me with life. I feel so stable. I feel so much like I belong to this planet when I breathe with that awareness, breathing with the forest, becoming the forest. Using the eyes of interbeing like that, we can grow an experience of stability, of groundedness, so that the ups and downs of daily life don't trip you up, don't knock you over. You move up, but you know your ground. You move down, but you know your ground. You know your home. You know you belong. Taya would always talk about it as the wave and the water. And most of the time we're on the surface, up like a wave moving up and down on the surface of the water. But all the while that the wave is a wave, she's also water. And she doesn't have to go anywhere to become water. She's already made of it. And we are like that with the deep expression of our life manifest as the planet, as the whole cosmos, as each other, as our ancestors. Any lens that we look through like that with eyes of interbeing, whether it's our mothers, fathers, and grandmothers and grandfathers, whether it's through the food that we eat as we eat our mindful meal and contemplate where the carrot comes from, the sun, the gardener, and all that, whether we're doing it like that, or whether we're walking and letting our great-grandmother walk steps of peace on this beautiful planet, any way that we do it opens us to that, the water in the metaphor of the wave and water, opens us to that dimension of our being, which is so grounding, so stabilizing, so fulfilling. And when we know that we're water going up, no fear. Going down, no fear. Going up, no anxiety, no worry. Going down, no anxiety, no worry. It becomes an artful expression of more or less playing in a way, being creative participants in life, rather than being victims of being pushed up and down and here and there, we become able to express ourselves from a place of stability and freedom inside. This doesn't seem like an orientation Dharma talk. Normally we talk about this stuff on the last day of the retreat. But it's really important. It's really important because it's the ground of what we're actually doing. Yeah. I sit here, you sit there, but all our ancestors through us sit here. That's the eyes of interbeing. And although that in one sense it's like I don't necessarily want all my ancestors to be sitting with me, they are. And I'm offering them the opportunity to breathe and to settle and to walk. And I feel so much more stable when I do that than if I'm just sitting here trying to figure out the problems in my life. I have less stress, right? But I'm actually doing the work of integrating and healing. The wave doesn't need to go anywhere to be water. She's already the water. So that's the inspiration that's guiding me this year on my practice, on my retreats. I want deep fulfillment. I want deep stability. I want deep freedom. I want that to be my ground. That's where I'm moving from in all my work now. So I hope that you're able to experience the joy of breathing with the forest. If your mind runs off to some analysis of why that's not going to happen because climate change is going to destroy everything or something like that, know that your mind has run away, right? And bring it back. The practice is simple. I've lost myself in a train of thought. I come back to the practice. And I let myself ground in my body. I let myself ground in feeling, I let myself ground in the activity of my mind, I'm bringing it in. I know it has gone away, I'm bringing it in. And now I'm aware again of the forest and me breathing in and out. As you walk, 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 allowing mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers to walk peace through you. Take your time. As you eat the body of the cosmos, feel its love for you expressed in all this food. It's not just to get to the next thing. It's not just to have calories to get through. As you listen and speak with friends in Dharma sharing, Dharma discussion, or in other moments, you know, open your heart to be really there. Body, heart, mind, really there. So you can really hear, really listen what they have to say, really connect. If I'm really present in my heart, connection can happen. The experience of our interbeing can arise. Simple things, walking, sitting, breathing, talking, listening. Thank you. That's what we're here to do. Very simple. Maybe we should sing a song and close. A song like, we sang I Have Arrived. How about breathing in and breathing out? Okay, I think I said this years ago, but I actually noticed this when I started coming out to Montana. Okay, in this song we do hand gestures, really simple hand gestures for the various, you know, things that we're going to do. You know, feeling solid like a mountain and all that. Okay, so back east, we do solid like a mountain like this. out here, I noticed the difference. It's very real. Actually, back east, we should do it like this.
Here you have to stand up.
Breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. I am blooming as a flower, I am fresh as a dew. I am solid as a mountain, I am firm as the earth, I am free, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. I am water reflecting what is real, what is true, and I feel there is space deep inside.